AM Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to this very special pre-recorded Memorial Day Good News Show here on KTH 910 AM, also KCPP 1140 AM. We appreciate you listening. We hope you're having a relaxing day. And of course, a Memorial Day, remember the souls of all the faithful departed and those who died in defense of our country and all of our loved ones as well. As I mentioned, this is a pre-recorded show. The second half of the program, I'm going to be talking about the Catholic pro-life community. Tom Rudy and also Maria Michalski came in and recorded an interview talking about the big gala that they recently had and also all things related to the CPLC. And there is a lot going on with them as well. And also it's very timing because we remember the souls of those poor innocent babies who die by abortion. So I think it's very appropriate to talk about that today on Memorial Day. But first, I have three wonderful gentlemen in studio, and this has become an annual interview thanks to the work of Bridget over at Redemptoris Mater Seminary and Father Alan McDonald, who is the Vice Rector of the Redemptoris Mater Seminary of the Diocese of Dallas, a very unique seminary, and we'll talk about that. I always enjoy talking about it because it's very different from a regular ordinary diocesan seminary, but in some ways it's similar. The mission, of course, is very similar as well. And this is exciting because in addition to Father Alan McDonald in studio with me, I have an interesting situation because as of our recording this last Monday, a week before it airs, I have Deacon David Picker in with me. He's a deacon now, but as of the time that this airs, he will be, God willing, a priest because he is scheduled to be ordained, which I guess turns out to be this past Saturday, May 24th at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Parish in Plano. And so this is an interesting little time shift because he's a deacon now, but as of the recording, but he will be a wonderful priest. He is from Spain, and we'll certainly bring him into the conversation. Also, congratulations. Our third guest is Deacon Matthew Biaggi. You might remember he came in and spoke to us last year. And at that time, he wasn't a deacon, but now he is. He was a seminarian then, and now he's a deacon as of about 3-4 weeks ago. And that happened on May 1st at Nuestra Señora del Pilar. So that is by way of introduction. The main thing we're going to talk about is an invitation to you listeners to join them for their family festival, which is coming up this coming Sunday, June 1st, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on the grounds of Redemptoris Mater Seminary, located at 419 North Cockrell Hill Road in Dallas. And you can find all the information at their website, rmdallas.org, rmdallas.org. All right, one of the longest introductions I've ever had, but there's a lot to say. So thanks to each of you for coming in. And Father Alan, I really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you guys every year. So thank you for organizing this.
Thank you for always allowing us to promote the festival and also to this invitation for people to come.
Mm-hmm. And there's a distinctly international and missionary aspect to this seminary. You can tell that Father Alan is from England, if you can figure out that. As I mentioned, one of our guests is from Spain, the other one from New Jersey. And that is part of America. So they have American seminarians there at Redemptoris Mater. So, Father, before we talk about the festival and introduce our other two guests, remind everybody about the seminary. It's been around since here in Dallas since 1988 on the inspiration of Bishop Grauman and just Pope St. John Paul II. But how is the Redemptoris Mater Seminary different?
Well, the Redemptoris Mater started the original ones in 1988 in Rome. We arrived here in 2004.
Oh, okay.
By the request of Bishop Grauman, also by the encouragement and from John Paul II. John Paul II, he kind of pushed for the seminary to come here. We have had, from May 24th, we'll have 21 priests ordained for the diocese and then one deacon. And so we all are international. So when we go to a retreat in Italy, We offer ourselves to go anywhere in the world to be formed in a Redeemed Tories Martyr Seminary. It can be anywhere. And so after this retreat, in the middle of the retreat, we put our names in a basket and offer our dispositions to go anywhere. And so they can pull out anywhere. It can be Rome, can be India, can be England. And when they pulled out my name, it was to Dallas. So I was like, Dallas? Where is Dallas? Where is
so you
Texas?
Didn't know where Dallas was?
I had an idea because of the
TV
program,
show.
The
yeah.
TV show,
yeah.
And the Cowboys and things like that. So I had some idea that it was in America, in Texas, but really I didn't know that much about it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and there's a really good write-up on the website, which I read before the interview started, rmdallas.org, about the uniqueness of this international seminary with a missionary character. But once the, like you said, your name is drawn and the location is drawn, that's pretty much your location now, and you're under the authority of the local bishop and no longer under the neo-catechumenal way, which we'll talk about. But when Dallas was chosen for you, pretty much that was going to be your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of burned the bridges in a way that we could from our families, from our countries, and we offer ourselves to go anywhere in the world. And if we are sent also to a diocese, we are ordained for that diocese. But also the spirit remains the same, because also we could go out on mission with the permission of the bishop, that we can go out as itinerant catechists on teams of the neo-catechumenal way. So that's also a possibility. But also maintaining the spirit of a missionary is that we don't place roots here.
Yes. And before I get to our guests, and I'm going to come back to you and talk about the festival at the end, so I want everybody to remain for that. But tell me, our listeners, about the neo-catechumenal way. What does that mean? And what is that particular charism, if that's the right word, in the church?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that began at the same time as the Second Vatican Council in the shanty towns in near Madrid. So the basic thing is that it's a way of Christian initiation, similar to the RCIA, but for those who are being baptized. So that one of the issues that we have in our day and age is that people have received baptism, First Communion and confirmation, but then after that, there's no real formation. So then, inspired through the Second Vatican Council, to have this formation for those who have been baptized, which is in line with John Paul II's talking about the new evangelization. There are many in the church, many, but they lack a formation. So it's to give those a kind of a post-baptismal formation to bring them to a maturity of faith in a small community, which is based in a parish, following the similar stages as the RCIA, or the OCIA, as it's now called, so that they can be helped in the in the families. It rebuilds marriages, it rebuilds lives, and also helps people discover their vocation. You know, this is why I'm here, because I discovered my vocation through the neo-catechumenal way, and the beauty and the of the church, and the beauty of the church as a mother. So I started when I was 14 years old, because my mother was already in the neo-catechumenal way from 1978. So this was a big help for me in my youth. I was a chef. I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be not like Gordon Ramsay, because he wasn't famous at the time, but people of that kind of character.
You sound like him.
So this is what was my dream, and the Lord gave me something else,
yeah,
which was the desire of my heart, which was better than my dream.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
so.
That is awesome. Father Alan McDonald, Vice Rector of Redemptorist Mater Seminary in the Diocese of Dallas, rmdallas.org, rmdallas.org. As of the website, 5 continents, 125 Redemptorist Mater Seminaries. I don't know if that's grown or not, but there's a lot of these seminaries across the country. We're very blessed to have one of them here in the Diocese of Dallas. Let me introduce now, let's go ahead and call you Father David Peeker. I think this is the first time I've ever interviewed somebody that by the time it aired, they were going to be ordained. So I don't know what to call you, but let's go ahead and call you Deacon David Peeker now, who was ordained 2 days ago as of this recording, May 24th at Seas in Plano. He's been serving at San Juan Diego Parish the last year in preparation for ordination. So congratulations, but since we are still ahead of the ordination, let's talk about it in the future sense. But can you tell us a little bit about your story? Grew up in Spain. How did Redemptorist Mater Seminary come about for you to enter it? And tell us your story, if you would.
Okay, so I was born in Spain, but I didn't really grow up in Spain because my family, in the New Carcamino way, my parents were very grateful for what the Lord had done with them. And they decided, they felt the calling to go into mission, to spread this good news, what the Lord had done with them. So since I've been 3 years old, I've been in mission, actually, before coming to the seminary.
Okay.
So I lived 5 years in Peru, then 6 years in Russia, then 5 years in Argentina. So actually, in Argentina is where I felt my vocation. And I was sent to Italy to this retreat, and I ended up in Dallas. So I'm from Spain, but...
Yeah,
but I've been living
how interesting!
In the world.
You were in the countries where the last two popes, of course, with Pope Leo in Peru, and then Pope Francis in Argentina. See, so you are very used to traveling around the world. And tell us your story: when it was selected, where you would go, and your name was drawn, and then the next name was Dallas, Texas. Well, what was your first impression of coming to Dallas?
I didn't know what it was, and everybody was talking to me like to Father Alan about the show, and I'm.
That show was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. So I was like, I don't know anything about that show.
Yeah.
And then I started looking in the map. It was very exciting, truly, because I'm the oldest of 9 siblings. And I never had really the intention of going to a seminary. My brother, the one that follows me, he was the one who always wanted to become a priest. And I didn't have that intention. I wanted to study medicine. I wanted to have a family like mine to go in mission. But I saw that I was pursuing those dreams when I was 20. And I was totally unhappy. Like, I saw that nothing was filling me up. I had everything I wanted, and my family was fine. I was always in the church. I was beginning the career that I wanted. Everything was fine, but I was empty. Mm-hmm. I was empty. So one day, listening to the catechist in a youth meeting, I had all these questions with me. It's like, how come I'm not happy? How come I'm following my dreams and nothing is making me happy? And I told the Lord, you know what? Like, I cannot put up with this burden anymore. Perhaps you can do something different. And that day in that meeting, I opened a little bit the door to the Lord. And I told him, I literally told him, I was like, okay, I'm going to risk it. I'm going to try to go to the seminary, but don't make me a priest.
And that's an interesting prayer.
I think it was very sincere.
Yeah, how interesting. I'm going to go, but don't make me a priest.
But don't make me a priest.
Well, he didn't live up to that one, did he?
No, but I discovered that. I discovered throughout the years in the seminary that the Lord had something way better. I was afraid. I was with my plans. And little by little, every year, I saw that the Lord bringing me to Dallas, because I saw that when I was in the lottery in Italy, I was thinking, Lord, wherever you send me is going to be the place that I need, the place that I'm going to encounter you.
Yeah.
And truly that word stuck with me throughout all these years in the seminary. And I saw that he was leading me through a path that I didn't know, because I don't know what priesthood is, really. I've seen priests, but I don't know what the life of a priest is, you know? And I see that today I'm happy, I'm fulfilled, not following my dreams, but truly following literally the steps of the Lord. Sometimes rebelling, sometimes arguing with the brothers at the seminary, with crisis, but also with many joys at the same time, with many surprises, with a relationship with the Lord that I didn't have before, even though I've been all my life in the mission, all my life in the church. It's been a beautiful experience, truly.
Yeah.
To be able also to be, and that the Lord is doing this history with me in Dallas, open to go anywhere also at the same time.
Yeah. So do you have a lot of international relatives coming in for the ordination on Saturday?
I have like 20 from Spain, but not many from Peru, Argentina, Russia, because the economic situation is in each place are very complicated.
Very different, yeah. Wow,
but they're all praying for me. They're all waiting for they have seen the link of the ordination, and they're all watching.
And you don't have your assignment yet, right? Is that, that's going to be Bishop Burns that will assign you, and you have, and your whole life has just been a matter of just accepting, you know, where God wants you to be. So wherever the bishop places you, you'll be very similar to a regular, well, you will be a diocesan priest, right?
Correct.
There is no distinction other than the way you were formed. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you expect to have spent your last couple of days from between ordination and now Monday on Memorial Day? Will you, do you have plans for your first mass, or where will that be?
I do. My first mass will be in San Juan Diego.
Okay.
At 2 p.m.
And that'll be on Sunday.
That will be
yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday.
I'm sorry. This is kind of weird.
It's confusing. Yeah.
Well, this is awesome. I feel like I should call you father, but I can't do it yet. But congratulations for in advance, I guess. I don't know how to talk to you. But anyways, that is Deacon soon to be, or is, David P. Kerr. And again, ordained a couple of days ago on May 24th at St. Elizabeth and Sedan Plano. And returning guest is Deacon Matthew Biaggi. He was ordained a deacon on May 1st at Nuestra Señora del Pilar and comes back after being here last year. So welcome back and congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Remind everybody a little bit about yourself. You're homegrown, you're a New Jersey guy. And what was, I'm sure you heard of Dallas when that name was pulled. Were you kind of thinking like, gosh, I thought I was going to be sent somewhere else, but I'm going to stay in America? Or what were your thoughts when Dallas was pulled?
Actually, I was very surprised when I came out for Dallas, Texas, you know, born and raised in New Jersey. I had heard of Dallas and Texas, but being from Jersey, one of the impressions you get is that it's only cowboys and cows and farmland. And to see and arrive landing in Dallas and the first thing you see is highways and the airport, you know, it's like, oh, there's not so different, you know?
Yeah.
But one thing that being there, sent to Dallas, a lot of friends that were also sent to the seminary with me that same year, they were sent all over the world. You know, they were sent to Vienna, Rome, India. And sitting right next to someone who was sent to Vienna, and I was sent to Dallas, Texas. But it was very impressive because I saw that here the Lord was waiting for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's where the Lord had planned for me to discover his love. And so I was very happy.
Yeah. So how does life change for you now that you're a deacon and you're still in formation? Or what's different about now that you're a deacon?
So yes, I'm still in formation. I've actually this past week finished my studies at the University of Dallas here in Irving, Texas. And now this coming up year, I'm waiting for my parish assignment. So I will be a year, just like Deacon David was this past year in San Juan Diego. I will be sent a year in any parish in the diocese to serve as a deacon in preparation for priestly ordination next year.
Oh, wow. So next year we'll have you as father.
Yes.
And can you talk about the highlights of your formation, and perhaps, as I mentioned with Father Allen, about how the formation is a little bit different in the neo-catechumenal way of the Redemptoris Mater Seminary, if that makes sense?
Yes. So our formation, we do 4 years of philosophy studies at the University of Dallas. And then after those, we begin our theology studies. So it'll be 2 years of theology. Well, in total, 4 years of theology. But after the first 2 years of theology, we get sent to anywhere in mission. And so actually, after my second year of theology, I was sent to mission to the islands of Guam and Hawaii. Mm. So I spent 3 years in mission there, announcing the good news, helping at the parishes there in the islands in the Pacific. And then after those 3 years, I came back, finished my theology studies, and now being ordained deacon, willing to serve anywhere in the diocese.
Yeah, and you know, we heard Deacon/Father David P. Kerr talk about his reluctance and that interesting prayer that he said to God about, I'll go to seminary, but don't make me a priest. Did you have any kind of resistance to the call, or how did you respond, and how did God make it evident to you that you should be in seminary?
Well, for me, I saw God calling me since I was very young. And growing up, it was the Lord little by little confirming this vocation for me. But there was a point where I thought, God, you know, you called me to the seminary. I'm here. But am I missing out? Am I missing out on something? And I saw my friends growing up, getting married, having children, and I was still studying in the seminary. And there was a sense of, God, are you stealing something from me? And it was in that moment, actually, during the time of mission, where God showed me, he's like, no, I haven't stolen anything from you, you know, but I have given you the best. Mm-hmm. I have given you the best. I have given you, I've called you to be my own, you know, to be my portion, to be my lot. And that was something for me that helped me to feel immensely loved by the Lord. And help me to see that God had the best plan for me, and he still does.
Yeah, praise God. That is Deacon Matthew Biagi. He was ordained a deacon May 1st, and so just a few weeks ago. And again, I also have in studio Vice Rector of Redemptorist Mater Seminary, Father Alan McDonald, who has been coming in annually, gosh, I don't know how many years, probably at least 10 years, and talking about this, the seminary. And also, it's always tied into the Family Festival, which is going to be 6 days from now, Sunday, June 1st, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., on the grounds of the seminary, 419 North Cockrell Hill Road in Dallas. And you can come spend the day with them. There's going to be food, live music, rides, a raffle, lots of fun for the entire family. And I've been to this before, and it is a lot of fun. And I even got a little tour of the seminary. I don't know if you'll be offered those. So, Father, if you could just kind of highlight what's going on this weekend and what people can expect.
Yeah, we begin at 10 a.m., but at 12 p.m., we'll have a procession of the Virgin Mary. And I know it's just kind of just changing from May to June, but we're taking advantage of that. And a tradition we started about 4 years ago. And it's very beautiful. And all the children come in their First Communion outfits, and then we give them white and blue balloons. And so we do a very beautiful procession from the stage, and we walk all the way through the field. And then we have a little Virgin Mary garden where people can pray during the festival if they like to spend some time there. And then at the end of the procession, all the children, we allow them to let the balloons go as a sign of the prayers that they're offering up to the Virgin Mary.
Mm. You know, I never really made this connection that the very seminary itself is named after the Mother of God, right? Redemptorist Mater, Mother of the Redeemer. Did I get that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so there is a very distinct Marian aspect to the seminary, and also the neo-catechumenal way. Or, well, what is that Marian aspect to it?
I mean, the fundamental inspiration to Kiko Arguello, is the founder, the initiator of the neo-catechumenal way, came from the Virgin Mary.
Uh-huh.
So this was, and he said to form small communities like the Holy Family of Nazareth, living in humility, simplicity, and praise. The other is Christ. And so this was the inspiration of the Virgin Mary to Kiko, that which is to live the life of Christ in mm-hmm. the end, which is our baptism, to grow and mature in our baptism, where it is to love, is the reading from the gospel we had the other week, right? To love the other. But how can we love the other? The foundation of that love is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that's what is at the center of the communities of the neo-catechumenal way.
Just as a curiosity question, when they have the drawing every year in Rome, and in the one basket is obviously the Dallas, you know, seminary, are you in it every year, or can you say, hey, we would like to have two seminarians, or we'd like to have five, or how do they choose how many are sent to this particular seminary?
Well, normally it's like a request of a certain number.
Yeah.
So we normally request three seminarians. So other seminaries like Rome, because they have a lot of cardinals and bishops passing through, usually they get a larger number. And the larger seminaries, like in Madrid, also in Warsaw, in Poland, they generally get a larger number. So we see also that those who are passing through the house, because we have one being ordained this year, but also we have seven, in fact, that are on mission. Marcus Narvaez, who was here in an interview, now is in Tanzania, in Africa.
Oh, wow.
So he's on mission. Wow. So then it's also the capacity of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So we have space for three more. We ask for three more. And so usually we get three seminarians normally every year.
And that's an exciting day for the seminary as well, because you get to find out who's coming and from where. Father, again, thank you very much for coming and bringing your guests with you. rmdallas.org is the website, Redemptorist Mater Seminary. The Family Festival is this coming Sunday, June 1st, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And as Father mentioned, a crowning and procession of the Virgin Mary beginning at 12 noon. I want to close out with our two deacons as of this moment. And I have learned when doing these interviews that you never know who's listening. And there have been situations where there's a young man listening who is influenced by what's on the radio. And so we only have about maybe a 45 seconds or a minute each, but if you could just speak about maybe to somebody who's considering a vocation, and what would you say to as a word of encouragement to them? We'll start first of all with Deacon / Father David Picard. Deacon?
Well, the only thing I would tell them, if you have seen that your dreams have disappointed you, if life in general has disappointed you, following your plans, following your designs, and everything has fallen apart, don't be afraid to give a chance to the Lord, because He can do much more than you can ever imagine. I think that's...
That's amen. Yeah, that just that sense of like there's something else out there that God has planned and considered the seminary. And we'll close out Deacon Matthew Biagi. What would you say, Deacon Matthew?
I would say that God loves you very much, that God will never disappoint, that He has your best interest at heart, and that all He wants to do with you is to show you His love. And that can lead you anywhere, even Dallas, Texas.
That certainly was the case for you too. Well, thank you very much. I can only imagine, having that like in a secular standpoint. Okay, you're going to pull up my name and then we're just going to send you on a job somewhere around the world. That's exciting, but also a little nerve-wracking perhaps as well. But as you all have expressed, it's really a submission to God's will. So thanks again to each of you for coming in. And I want to remind you, go out and have some fun this weekend. Bring the family. Family Festival, Sunday, June 1st, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And it's at Redemptoris Mater Seminary of the Diocese of Dallas. The location is 419 North Cockrell Hill Road, Dallas, Texas, 75, I only have four digits. You can figure it out, the zip code. rmdallas.org, rmdallas.org is the website. Thank you again to each of you. And we're going to take a break now and come back again. This is all pre-recorded, so no phone calls. And we're taking the day off like most of you are. But we are going to be talking about the Catholic pro-life community. Tom Rudy and also Maria Michalski are my guests. They got a lot to tell you about, and we'll be back right after this with that portion of the show.
All teens are invited to an incredible can't-miss event this summer. Life Teen and Franciscan University are hosting the Steubenville Lone Star Youth Conference on Friday, June 20th through Sunday, June 22nd at the Irving Convention Center in Irving. This three-day teen conference sets the stage for a life-changing encounter with Christ. Get ready for 3 days of fun, faith, and an incredible community-building experience. For more information or to register, visit lifeteen.com and search on Steubenville Lone Star.
Hi, this is Rick Self, the Executive Director for Catholic Brothers for Christ. We are a Dallas-Fort Worth ministry for men that helps men get engaged and active in their Catholic faith. We do this by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with men's conferences and events. We are rooted in prayer, the sacraments, and fellowship. To learn more about Catholic Brothers for Christ, visit CatholicBrothersForChrist.com. That's CatholicBrothersForChrist.com.
Discover the secrets to a lasting marriage by attending a Marriage Encounter Weekend. The next Worldwide Marriage Encounter Weekend is Friday, July 11th through Sunday, July 13th at the Atrium Hotel in Irving. The Marriage Encounter Weekend presents a unique approach to revitalizing Christian marriage. Learn the tools to keep your marriage strong and vibrant. For more information or to register for the Worldwide Marriage Encounter, visit WWME.org. That's WWME.org.
Do you have high blood pressure, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, forms of dementia? Studies are showing that breathing disorders could be a major contributor to these health issues. I'm Dr. Kyle Eberlein at Mid-Cities Dental, a sponsor of the GRN. Have you considered getting a sleep study which can be done in the comfort of your own home? We can potentially access medical insurance for your screening. We can be reached by calling 817-282-9321 or online at MidCitiesDental.com to schedule.
Welcome back to this Good News Show, pre-recorded on Memorial Day. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're off work. I hope you're enjoying family and also remembering those who have passed away, those who have served our nation, and also the unborn, and also loved ones who have died recently. And I recently had the opportunity to talk to two of my friends from the Catholic pro-life community who are in studio with me right now. And we are going to be talking, among other things, about the memory of a great man who passed away earlier this year, just in the last month or so. And his name is John O'Dwyer, and he and his wife Dorothy were the people of the pro-life people of the year in 2024.
Correct.
And 2023, I got it. So I love this award, and they are just amazing people. And so may God rest his soul. And I have in studio Tom Rudy, who serves as the chief of staff for the Catholic pro-life community, along with Maria Marchelski, who is director of Project Gabriel with the CPLC. Got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about that. The gala, which wasn't too long ago, and also there's a lot going on within the CPLC, so we got a lot to talk about in a short amount of time. So welcome to both of you, and thank you for being here for this pre-recorded Memorial Day show.
Dave, it's my pleasure to be here.
So let's start with John O'Dwyer. I remember about a little over a year ago, he and Dorothy came in to be interviewed, just like I'm interviewing you, you two, but it was about the award that they were going to receive, and I had not at the time heard of them, and he was a very simple man. I didn't realize he was quite accomplished, but he didn't come across as flashy or accomplished.
No.
But I know it's very important that you all want to talk about his life and as of this recording, a very recent funeral. But Tom, what are your memories of John?
You know, first of all, I got to say, you know, at the funeral, I was looking at a lot of people around me that have known John for 20 to 40 years, and how wonderful that would have been. I've only known John for about 2 years. But when I met him, I felt like I met somebody just amazingly different. We became friends quickly. We had breakfasts together. And I saw in him just this beautiful generosity, but also this amazing ability to give physically with his hands. So on both ends, this guy was a tremendous, generous person to the Catholic pro-life community.
Yeah, and at the gala, which we'll talk about as well, mm-hmm. he was one of the guys. I think this is public because when you raise up your your number, it's pretty public. But I remember when the auctioneer lady said, okay, we're going to start big. And I thought, oh, is she going to start with, you know, $20,000 or $25,000 donations?
Yeah,
and she said, $100,000 donation. And I was like, nobody's going to do $100,000. Then all of a sudden, up raises John O'Dwyer's hand.
Oh,
so
he
was a financial donor in a big way, wasn't he?
Huge.
Yeah, gosh. And I love it. That's one of the blessings that I've had in my job is meeting people that have a lot of money but don't hold on to it and they want to be generous about it. So, Maria, your thoughts on John O'Dwyer?
John was a very humble person. You know, he is affiliated with Bella House. He's the one that is the financial guru behind that whole organization. And he's always been very generous with, you know, the homes and the women there. And he's also the type of person who was not afraid to get physical in terms of if there was something that needed to be done in those homes, he was in there doing it, not just giving orders for someone mm-hmm. else to do it.
So. And you don't typically think of your big donor as the person that's also going to be doing the work.
That right.
Those two are separate, typically not associated with each other. And happy memory. And did you ever find out why the pro-life issue meant so much to him? I mean, there's a lot of different ways people can donate and a lot of great causes. Why Bella House? Why CPLC? Did he ever you know,
that's
explain
amazing,
that?
Dave, that's one of the things we never talked about. But I'm sure there is a very good story why he has this great passion for life. I also want to mention John is a great man, but every great man is because they have a great woman behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And Dorothy O'Dwyer, quiet, like John, quiet, but wow, what an amazing strength she is. She was to John. I believe what John accomplished was because of Dorothy. And just spending time with her, you could see the strength in her. At the funeral, I was emotional because of that relationship I had with John, but she was so strong. She was just beautifully strong and just looked at it and said, John's in a good place now. He's not suffering anymore. She helped me. Mm-hmm. I wasn't there helping her. Beautiful.
Was his funeral on the day of the election of the new pope, or was it within a day of that?
Yeah, his funeral was on a Wednesday.
Okay, the pope was Thursday. Because I remember my mom was at the funeral, and she said, guess who celebrated the mass? It was the Bishop Burns, and he had a lot to say, didn't he? Can you summarize, or what were the highlights of what he said during
this? To be very honest, it was very difficult for John. I watched the last 6 months, and he got difficult for him. But that night, because I hadn't seen him for a month, I saw that he was just really struggling at the table. But he wanted to be there. He wanted to be there to raise his hand, to begin that evening with emotion. And the real beautiful thing is, at the funeral, Bishop Burns spoke to that. He recognized that because he was sitting just a little bit off, and he saw the challenge that John was that night. And in his homily, he said, but like John, he stayed there. Mm-hmm. He stayed till the end. He sacrificed. And he related to Jesus on the cross, how he sacrificed just knowing it was hard for him. But when it came time to bid, he raised his paddle.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple minutes, he left.
Yeah.
He needed to leave. But it was a beautiful moment, and it really touched Bishop Burns, as well as his whole friendship. He spoke to the many times that he's had the pleasure of having dialogue with him about many things, but so much about life, so much about life.
Yeah, speaks of his humility as well, because some people wouldn't want to be seen in that, you know, very compromised, condition where,
right.
you know, he must have had an idea mm-hmm. that he was, you know, not too far from his passing. We are talking about a great man, John O'Dwyer, who passed away recently. His funeral was back in May, just at the beginning of May. And this is the Memorial Day show. I have Tom Rudy, Chief of Staff, and Maria Marchelski, Director of Project Gabriel, in studio with me, talking about the CPLC. The website there is prolifedallas.org. And let's talk about the gala. It was a great event. Mm-hmm. I thought David B. Wright just gave
a...
He was by far,
I thought, the best speaker we have ever had.
Yeah.
He, I think, really touched everyone in that room and motivated them to a point. And our whole goal, honestly, was to try to get the youth engaged more in the pro-life movement. And I think he knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
There were many comments, letters, emails sent to us about how great that evening was and
mm-hmm.
how
yeah.
they were really touched by the words that he had spoken. So
mm-hmm. yeah, he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. So any other highlights? I know a lot of money was raised, which is very important. You said you got a lot of great comments. But
first of all, you mentioned it sold out, and that was really cool. We had people calling us the day of, still trying to get in. So praise God that happened. And then a highlight is when I walked through that floor, I saw so many young adults. That is something that we've really worked hard at, to get the new group in there energized for life, to
mm-hmm.
be the next voice for life. And boy, they came in packs. And then I believe they signed up for a lot of volunteer things after mm-hmm. that, Maria.
Yep, they did. We did something a little different this year. We had a card sitting on the table for people to complete if they felt the need to want to volunteer in some capacity to, Catholic Pro-Life Community or Project Gabriel. And I received quite a few cards, and I've reached out to each one of those people. But, we had all kinds of suggestions that they could volunteer for. It's not the typical, you know, do you want to be an angel or, but yeah, I was very pleased to see that there were people out there who felt moved to want to participate in some way.
Yeah, I do remember seeing a lot of the young people. And I'm wondering, you know, because with the overturning of Roe v. Wade, young people growing up now may not have as much of an idea of, like, you know, because abortion is not legal in Texas. Thanks be to God. It's not a national law like Roe v. Wade any longer. How is it that we communicate that the urgency of the message to young people that this is still a very important issue that they should get behind?
Well, here it is. Here's the fact. I just read a statistic that depending on the parish around the country, the population in those pews has gone up anywhere between 30% to 70%. The young adult movement is on fire. I look at my daughter and all their friends at St. Anne's. They are there not to be, but they are there to really absorb and feel what's going on. And they're now the voices. So what's happening today in this country, I believe, is a transformation of just the whole fight for life again. It's beautiful to see.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of change within the CPLC, and I know the theme at the, and correct me if I get these, is something about better together or stronger together. Is that right?
Better together.
And there was a lot of talk about Bloom and its, you know, emerging with CPLC. So what is the latest now that we're, you know, a few weeks removed from the event, or a month or so? Any new updates, Tom, or what is the plan going forward?
I can tell you we are together. So the plan right now is we're looking at our office space, taking on additional space for them. We will be moving their folks. And we'll all be together as one family, so that's going to be beautiful. We'll have a few T's got to be done, but most everything is complete now. It's the merging of the cultures, and I think that's gonna just work beautifully.
And it doesn't end with Bloom. You would like to see other groups come under the umbrella, and
most definitely, you know. There's a lot of different organizations out there, and we seem to, I don't want to say stepping on each other's toes, but there's some repetitiveness, and we're kind of not working together to really help these moms in a way that is uniform. Everyone has their own little niche. And so I think with the combining of Bloom and Project Gabriel, or I should say the Catholic pro-life community, again, there's some continuity there in terms of caring for these women. They're coming in, they're having their sonograms and their pregnancy tests, and there's a counseling there, but then they're continuing with Project Gabriel and being given an angel that will help to mentor them and providing them education that will help them to find better jobs and, you know, higher pay. And hopefully sometime in the near future, we are looking at providing some housing for these women, because that's unfortunately a huge struggle here in the Metroplex with trying to find affordable housing for these moms. And again, you know, when you have educational program like we do, it's really difficult when you're trying to teach them a new lifestyle to live, and yet they're living every day in their lethal environments.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're put in a, you know, a common place, sharing the same experiences as other moms and learning the same things and learning it and being in that environment 24/7, there's a much higher rate of success in helping them to transform, you know, on a more permanent basis. So yeah, we're really looking at hopefully you know, providing that housing for them.
And Maria, how will Project Gabriel change as more of this metamorphosis happens and perhaps more groups come under the umbrella? How will we see a change in the work that you're doing with Project Gabriel?
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that, you know, as we expand with other ministries, not just Bloom, but, you know, maybe some maternity homes might be a future possibility. We're all, again, we have right now currently Bella House's and Mad Maria's women coming to our Project Gabriel GEMS classes. So they're there, they're getting, you know, angels, they're being mentored, they're getting the educational part that they're not getting in those maternity homes. So they're getting that. They're getting the opportunity to earn a scholarship that will enable them to continue their education and get better jobs with higher pay. And that's what we're trying to do, is to teach them some life skills, important life skills that unfortunately they were not given when they were children in their own homes with their parents.
I know a lot of these women have been highlighted at events in the past, the CPLC events. It must be very gratifying to see, not only just, you know, immediately after they graduate, but I'm sure some of them come back after five or 10 years and the baby that they didn't abort is now a teenager. Do you have stories
I keep in contact with a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so funny because, you know, yesterday was Mother's Day, and I make a point of sending each and every one of them, you know, a little note to just say Happy Mother's Day to you. And it's how do I say it? It's very emotional for me to read some of the responses that I get from some of these moms. And they've graduated, you know, they've moved on with their lives, and yet they have, you know, they contact us, they let us know how they're doing. Sometimes, you know, they might still run into trouble, and they call us, but that's okay. But that's what we're here for. And it's very rewarding to see how they, you know, have moved on and succeeded with some of the things that we've tried to teach them.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And people sometimes say, oh, the pro-life people, they're only interested in the baby in the womb. They're not interested in the mother. Have you heard of Project Gabriel? Because that's kind of the whole purpose. Tom Rudy is chief of staff, and Mary Michalski is director of Project Gabriel. The website is prolifedallas.org, the Catholic pro-life community. And there's a lot of change in the air. And we've talked about the passing of John O'Dwyer, the gala that happened recently, and also some of the transformation. And so, Tom, what exactly is your role as chief of staff? What do you do on a day-to-day basis?
On a day-to-day basis, the last 8 months, it's been making sure this transformation runs smooth, making sure the cultures blend, making sure that everybody outside of our, you know, our building understands where we're going. And that's been a big communication. And if I step back and tell you how it started, it was about 2 years ago, the bishop approached us and he said, you know, with COVID ending, we've got to get people engaged in the pro-life movement. We're not touching enough people, and that's all of our ministries. So it realized the impact of what that statement did to me was, it got me thinking, all right, how do we become more successful? How do we make that impact? And the transformation is bringing everybody together into this circle, because there's a statistic out there that's quite alarming, that the 6 out of 10 women who did not choose life chose abortion because they were in a financial horrible place and emotionally a horrible place. And that temperature needed to bring down. If we want to save more lives, we have to bring that temperature down. So bringing Bloom in with us. So now you have a mom that comes in and she's frightened and she doesn't know where to go. We can do a sonogram from Bloom, but then we say, well, we can get an angel to walk with you. Well, today now she comes in and we do the sonogram. We say, you have beautiful life in you. And this lady, she's going to walk with you. You are not alone. And then hopefully, very near future, we'll have the housing there in that same room. We can say, between all of us, you're taken care of. We'll bring that temperature down. And the idea is to save more lives that way. Our communication is to reach out for those mothers that are in that question. The world's told them, you don't have a choice. Your only choice is to take care of yourself. Well, you do have a choice. And the other choice is life. But we got to get to them and tell them the beautiful part of that life.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. And will this effort go beyond Dallas, beyond DFW? I mean, am I getting ahead of myself?
No.
Or is this something that, is there, you know, let me rephrase the question. Because I know that when David B. Wright spoke at the event, he said some big announcements coming nationwide, something, you know, very, very soon. And I don't think I missed it. Is that still coming, or is there anything that you can tell us about that? And does that have to do with maybe a national effort, or what was he referring to?
What he's referring to is when I contacted Jeff Schaffelbein to partner in doing this, he just made a few requests. He said, one, quit your job, which I did, and I'd have to quit the board as chair. So I did both of those. And together we said, let's build a model that is so powerful. Let's make the mistakes. Let's get it fine-tuned, and then we can take this model around the country to other cities that are split like this and unify them so we can become stronger. Because one thing for sure is Planned Parenthood is not split up. They are highly focused. Their message for 50 years has been very well received by the young people. They believe they're cared for by them. Our message has to be more powerful today. Mm-hmm. We have to let them know about that choice and that we care about mom, we care about baby, and we care about those who didn't make that right choice. We're there to put a pathway for healing. So holistically, we care about all of them. Yes, Dave, this model is good for the nation, and that's mm-hmm. what David's speaking to.
Okay, and has there already been that reach out, or are you going to try to get it going here before?
Yes.
And I imagine once it's successful here, you might have them calling you and saying, hey, it won't be you reaching out to them. They'll be coming to you. And does that also mean that the epicenter of the pro-life effort in America or maybe the world will be in Dallas, Texas? I mean, going to be the headquarters? Is that the plan?
This is truly the largest pro-life group organization in the United States, maybe in the world. Will it come stronger? Absolutely, it will become stronger. Will we make some mistakes? Yep, we're going to do a lot of that because we are going to fine tune this. We're not ready to go out yet, but we will have this in such a beautiful package that I come Holy Spirit, they will be coming to us with what they've heard happen in Dallas, Texas.
Mm-hmm. I've said many times, one of the great things about my job is I've seen groups grow, you know, from young Catholic professionals, mm-hmm. and a lot of groups started right here in Dallas, right. And just see them grow and mature. And so I'll look back at this interview one time and I'll say, I remember when we talked about that.
But that's our goal.
We just have a few minutes remaining here on this Memorial Day recorded episode of the Good News Show. Hope you're having a great Memorial Day, and I'm very grateful for Tom and Maria spending some time talking about the Catholic pro-life community and all the good things that are happening within the group. But Maria, what else can you share with our listeners, especially now that we're unofficially heading into summer now with Memorial Day?
Are.
What's going on this summer?
So
with
I
the
just
CPLC?
Wanted to give a few plugs for our future angel training sessions that are going to be coming up. We have one on Wednesday, June 11th in our office in Dallas on Preston Road, and that's from 10 to 2 in English. And then we have another one in Spanish that's going to be in September, and an English one in August, which is on a Saturday. So all those are on our website. If you go to prolifedallas.org/beanangel, you can see all the dates there for our trainings for angels, and you are free to go ahead and register online. There's some videos that you need to watch that kind of give you an idea of what it's like to be an angel, and the paperwork that needs to be done to register for the classes and do the background checks. But we encourage you to please consider being an angel, or if there's some way you want to get involved with Project Gabriel, that would be a good start to come to the training. It gives you background in terms of the ministry itself, various ways you can volunteer if an angel is not one of those positions that you're wanting to pursue. Strongly suggest you come to one of those.
And I know Rachel's Vineyard is mm-hmm. going strong. In fact, I think I have an interview scheduled to record one tomorrow with about an upcoming Rachel's Retreat.
Rachel,
Rachel's Retreat
we
as well. Tom, anything else?
Yeah, I would like to, first of all, thank you for the opportunities and all the opportunities for you to help us. I would like to message everyone that's listening today. You can feel this transformation out there. You feel it politically, you feel it socially, and you feel it in the church. There is a movement in the right direction today. This is the right time, and I'm hoping that the voices that are for life become vocal. And I don't mean let's debate, let's challenge, but we have to stand for life today. When you hear an untruth, we have to stand up with the truth. We have to do it with love and plant seeds, and we have to be consistent there. For too many years, way too long, we've been silent because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to lose a friendship or maybe even a job. But today, this is about life. This is a culture of life, protecting the dignity of every human being. We have to be able to be a voice and stand for life with confidence.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. Again, Tom Rudy is the Chief of Staff for the Catholic Pro-Life Community. ProLifeDallas.org is their website. Maria, last comments, anything else?
You know, I'm just going to read you this little text I got from a mom on Mother's Day. She said, "Happy Mother's Day, ma'am. It takes a great deal of responsibility and strength to be a mother. Being a mother to children who aren't biologically yours shows just how big and beautiful your heart is. I truly appreciate you. Thank you for being one of the best moms in the world. May God bless you abundantly." This is what an angel does. They are moms to these women,
mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately they've never had an example in their life, a good example, whether it be their mother or their father. Most of these women come from broken families. And so I always look to these women as they are my children. Of course, I don't treat them like children, but I do look to them that I have a responsibility to help them to be the best moms that God designed them to be and to teach them how to do that because they don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
But they're willing and they're very, very willing to want to learn. And
yeah. Well, it's nice when you get messages like that. It's very enlightening.
I got quite a few of them. Very pleased.
And you mentioned a moment ago how yesterday was Mother's Day. Of course, this is pre-recorded. And So those of you listening on Memorial Day thinking, was yesterday my mother? Did I forget my mom? Do I need to send her flowers? No, it's not Memorial Day it's not Mother's Day as of this airing, but it is as of the recording. So, okay, I want to get that straight. Thanks to you both for being here. And again, if you want to learn about all the work of the Catholic Pro-Life community, simply go to their website, prolifedallas.org. They need volunteers. Of course, they're always going to need donations, and they need prayers. And so you can do all that.
Yes.
And I hope you have a very, very blessed rest of your Memorial Day. And thank you for your support also of Guadalupe Radio Network, so we can continue to bring you these kind of interviews. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
The Guadalupe Radio Network welcomes the Bible Tunes as a new sponsor. Owner Renee Diaz invites you to deepen your faith and knowledge by listening to AI-crafted Bible-based music. His goal is to create gospel-inspired, AI-generated music for every book in the Bible in the next 3 years. You can visit thebibletunes.org to listen to the music he's created based on various books of the Bible and the gospel readings of the day. That's thebibletunes.org, where AI meets the Bible.
Hi, I'm Father Sam Medley from the Society of Our Lady, the Most Holy Trinity.
And I'm Madigan Mayer.
This Memorial Day, turn into the quest, where we'll talk about honoring those who have gone before us, especially those who gave their lives for the freedom we enjoy, and remember them. We honor them by trying to get to the place where we believe they have gone, to heaven. We ask the Lord to bring us there, and we'll explore this question on the quest. 4 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern.
Right here on the Guadalupe Radio Network and the free Guadalupe Radio app.
Hi, my name is Gabriel Garrison. I'm currently studying at the University of Dallas, and I'm a former student of Homeschool Connections, a Catholic online provider of live and recorded classes for grade school, middle school, and high school students. At Homeschool Connections, your student can learn from teachers with high levels of experience in their fields. You can learn more by visiting homeschoolconnections.com, a sponsor of the GRN. That's homeschoolconnections.com.
Is God calling you to a religious vocation? The Diocese of Fort Worth invites men and women ages 18 to 40 to the annual Vocation Awareness Program. The 35th Annual Vocation Awareness Weekend will be held on Friday, June 13th to Sunday, June 15th at the University of Dallas in Irving. The Weekend of Discernment is a unique opportunity to join others in seeking answers about a religious vocation. There are no fees to attend, private rooms, and all meals are provided. For more information, visit vapinfo.org.
The GRN welcomes our new sponsor, Camp Subiaco. Camp Subiaco is a summer camp for boys ages 9 to 13. The week is busy with go-karts, zip lines, campouts, canoeing, shotguns, 22s, swimming, and boating. Camp Subiaco is all boy. Imagine spending a week at Subiaco Abbey in Arkansas, jumping off a cliff at Hidden Pool, canoeing on Third Lake, spending the night under the stars at the old monastery site. Give your son the gift of Camp Subiaco. Sign up now at campsubiaco.org.
Vacation Bible School isn't just for kids anymore. Experience the joy of faith together as a family this summer. The Catholic Family Vacation Bible School will take place on Saturday, June 28th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at St. Joseph Catholic Church in Richardson. Breakfast and lunch are included. Families stay together for the entire experience, sharing in games, music, stories, and faith-filled fun. For more information or to register, visit josephcatholic.org and click on Events.
The Guadalupe Radio Network thanks Little Elm Eye Care for their support of local Catholic radio. Little Elm Eye Care is owned by Drs. Bert and Leslie Bubella, parishioners of St. Francis of Assisi Parish in Frisco. They specialize in family vision care, comprehensive eye exams, contact lenses, and the treatment of eye diseases and injuries. Little Elm Eye Care is located at 1200 East El Dorado Parkway, Suite 100, across from the Little Elm Athletic Complex. They can be reached by calling 972-292-0900 or on the web at littleelmeyecare.com.
KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth.